Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Oh, yeah. Welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with the plan, the Ed Man, here to give you some of the news for the past week. And let's see what we got. Let's play this one by ear. Huh? Let's go flying by the seat of our pants. And let's see what our headline article is on good old Yahoo News. Really, the number one source for good fake news is Yahoo News. And here's their front page story. Don't be surprised if virus numbers suddenly dip. Coronavirus testing numbers are likely to be erratic over the next week or so, experts said Friday, as fewer people get tested during the Thanksgiving holiday weekend. By the way, I hope everyone is having a great Thanksgiving Day weekend. I probably should have opened with that. All right, back to the blurb. Don't misinterpret the numbers. All right, so this story says don't be surprised if virus numbers suddenly dip and don't misinterpret the number. I like that they're not only, you know, the stories are bad enough. Instead of just giving you the facts, they tell you how to feel. This one's telling me how to react. Don't misinterpret the number. Whatever you do, stay scared of the coronavirus. All right, I'm going to click through, giving them some clicks there for good old Yahoo News. And this comes to us by way of the Associated Press, crack reporter Daniela Peters. Experts, virus numbers could be erratic after Thanksgiving. So the experts think that the virus numbers could be erratic after Thanksgiving. And then it pretty much just repeats what I just told you. Let's see if they've got any new information in here. The result could be potential dips in reported infections. Okay. Oh, we have a quote here. I just hope that people don't misinterpret the numbers, said Dr. Leanna Wen, a professor at George Washington University and an emergency physician. I hope they don't end up misinterpreting the numbers and think there wasn't a major surge as a result of Thanksgiving, and then end up making Christmas and Hanukkah and other travel plans, God forbid. A similar pattern unfolds on many weekends, because some testing centers, labs, and state offices are closed. Okay, so a similar pattern unfolds on many weekends. So it happens on weekends anyway, but it's especially going to happen on Thanksgiving. Dr. Mark Rupp, professor and chief of infectious diseases at University of Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha, said the effect of Thanksgiving is likely to be a magnified version of the weekend figures. Okay, so it already happens on the weekends, but now it's going to be even greater. Just reading kind of the first lines of each of these paragraphs here, like they taught me to do in school. Johns Hopkins University reported a high of more than 2 million tests a few days before Thanksgiving as people prepared to travel, but that number has dropped to less than 1.2 million, a mere 1.2 million tests on Thanksgiving Day. In several cities and states, officials report sharp drops in testing on Friday. All right, it's the same thing over and over. I'm going to go to the next paragraph. While testing was down Thursday and Friday, health officials said they anecdotally saw a jump in people getting tested before deciding to travel or gather to Thanksgiving meals. And they told me that already. I think it can be kind of a false sense of security for some people, Rupp said, predicting that the holiday will be followed within weeks by another surge. Okay, they told us that too. Experts worry how people might interpret the situation after the long weekend. You know, each one of these things that I'm reading to you is a separate paragraph. I'm just reading you the headline from each paragraph. So the story is just the same thing repeated over and over again. This is madness. It's not that bad, but you know what? I'm just going to skip to the end here and let them wrap it up for me. Go ahead and state your case. Here we go. This is the last paragraph. Quote, where we are now is a completely unsustainable place. I think it's extremely frustrating to those of us in healthcare to see our calls not being heeded, Wen said. and the level of alarm that we have is not reflected in individuals' behavior. Yeah, and it's never going to be reflected in individuals' behavior. Do you know why? Because we've lived with this now for a year, and we see it's not that bad. Why don't they quit trying to scare me and let me live my life? By the way, that headline in Yahoo, I saw that yesterday as the headline. So they've just kept this up for the last day to make sure that people see this in order to keep the populace scared of everything. You know, earlier in the year, I was scared of it too, right? I was saying, wear a mask. I was saying, be careful. I was saying, if you're older, maybe don't go out, right? But now we're smarter. The numbers have come in. We see the effects of this, and it's not as bad as they're pretending that it is. And now a lot of these moron governors are locking down again. Thank goodness we're here in Florida, right? Thank goodness that Ron DeSantis neutered local regulations and we can't get in that much trouble for not having a mask on. Businesses can require a mask. I think that's okay, as long as they're not getting some kind of subsidy or something from the government for having mask rules in place. I mean, what do you expect? If a company thinks that they're going to get more people shopping there if they've got the rules in place, then if not, I mean, I don't like the idea of having to walk around in a biocontainment suit just to get some groceries, but, you know, there it is. And I feel the same way with, like, Twitter and Facebook. I don't like them censoring this stuff. I don't like them doing it, but I don't think there should be government intervention into it either. I think other companies will pop up to compete against them as long as the government doesn't interfere. And government interference, in my opinion, is pretty broad. So, for instance, if the government is subsidizing Apple and Apple kicks Gab off their app store, then that is a problem, because then you have players in the government that want things to be a certain way, and they're going to be making sure that people who have a counter argument, like Alex Jones, for instance, and they'll get him kicked off the platform. I know Alex Jones is controversial, but I'll tell you what. Remember when everyone was saying how nuts he was because he said that companies were putting chemicals in the water that turned the frogs gay? Well, why don't you look up the chemical atrazine and then get back to me? You know, he uses hyperbole, and he's loud, and he's obnoxious. And he does go into crackpot, in my opinion, crackpot conspiracy theories about aliens and stuff like that. But to ban the man is obviously wrong. I mean, and to do it all at the same time across multiple platforms, again, I think it's up to the company to decide whether to do it or not. But it is wrong for them to do that. Same thing with Twitter. Even though I think it's their right to ban somebody, I think it's wrong for them to actually do it. And people don't seem to understand that just because you think that something is wrong doesn't mean that there should be a law against it, because other people have a different opinion than you do. And this is a challenge that's very hard for us to overcome in society. The idea that just because you think that something's wrong, to take the expression there ought to be a law against that and actually turn that into reality is a problem. And each side, each person with an opinion tries to use the law to force somebody else to bend to their will and do what they want. And thank goodness that we have a constitution. You know, those founding fathers, I don't know what flaws they had. I didn't know those people personally. But I'll tell you what, man, they were flipping geniuses. And look how they are standing in the way right now of these governors who are trying to shut their cities down. I just saw somebody who got a fine of $15,000 for trying to keep their business open. It's not right. And the censorship of the companies that I was talking about, hey, look, here's a tweet. This is from Candace Owen. And she writes, weeks ago, Facebook censored a post of mine which truthfully stated that Joe Biden is not the president-elect. So I got lawyers involved. Conclusion, PolitiFact uncensored the post and admitted that they lied by rating my post false. And I see the PolitiFact correction. It says, PolitiFact originally labeled this video false in our capacity as a third-party fact-checker for Facebook. On November 20th, an appeal to that decision was made on behalf of Ms. Owens. PolitiFact approved the appeal on November 20th, determined that a correction was appropriate, and removed the false rating. She had to get lawyers involved for a fact check. I mean, if it's a fact, how hard is it to check it? Well, the answer to that, of course, is simple. It's easy to check a fact, but they're not fact-checking. They are looking at something and putting an opinion on it. And when I look at things like PolitiFact and Snopes, I'm amazed at how they're able to twist wording around in order to get the verdict that they want, in order to justify the verdict that they want. Oh, and speaking of Joe Biden being president-elect, and I put that in quotes and with sarcasm. Wait, does that undo the quotes? I don't know. But if you have been following this stuff, hey, you know, Donald Trump, I told you, he was going to win if there wasn't any BS. We've discovered that there is lots and lots of BS. And other people are starting to realize it, too. It's so fantastic. Guys, tell me the truth. All right, let's so 2016 was absolutely the best, right? I mean, Donald Trump ran, and I was like, this man is running because of publicity, right? He wants to sell a book or something. I don't know what he's trying to pull. I had known of Donald Trump, you know, for years, but sort of tangentially, right? I mean, I knew who he was, but I never really watched any solid interviews of him. I did watch one time when Borat was interviewing him. Oh, it was, what's the name of the guy who plays Borat? Sacha Baron Cohen, something like that. It was his previous character, Ali G. That's what it was. It was, and he interviewed a lot of people, and everybody was just kind of putting up with his nonsense and trying to answer him seriously and giving him leeway. And Ali G tried to pull that stuff with Donald Trump, and Donald Trump was not having it. He realized this dude was wasting his time. He stood up and he walked out. He's like, I'm done. And that was it. And I was like, you know, that is that's pretty good. There's something to that, you know, to somebody who realized that they're being played. And he wasn't mad. He didn't yell at him. He didn't scream or anything like that. And he was just like, okay. And he got up and he walked out. And that was it. You know, and I thought that was pretty cool, even though I didn't know, you know, too much about him at the time. Well, like I was saying, when he ran in 2016, even though I knew of him, I had missed all these interviews that I've seen since then of him saying things like he didn't like the direction that the country was going and stuff like that. And I remember there was a controversy when he was trying to get Obama to show the birth certificate, and the administration, for whatever reason, wouldn't show it. And they showed this other piece of paper that was legally identical to a birth certificate. And he was like, well, that's not the birth certificate. And then that was the whole birther theory. And interestingly, a Hillary Clinton campaign staffer came out and said that their campaign actually had started that whole thing. They released a picture, and Donald Trump pointed that out in one of the debates, that it was Hillary Clinton that started this whole idea that Obama wasn't born in the country. And then Trump just kind of said, well, if he was born in this country, it would be easy to show the birth certificate. So where is it? And then they wouldn't show it. And then Trump's like, okay, well, we would like to see the original long form. I think they call it birth certificate. And the administration was not able to produce it. And then somehow Trump got in trouble just for asking for it. So I don't know how that works. But he learned his lesson, because then later on when he was running and there was doubt whether or not Ted Cruz was born in the country, he floated the theory that he suspected that Ted Cruz was actually born in Canada and might not be qualified to run for president because of that. But he let it go. So he didn't pursue it. So I think Trump learned that you shouldn't, you know, be asking questions like that. Of course, it's a little bit different, because then after Donald Trump was having a serious run for president, they were accusing Trump of asking the question about the birth certificate for Obama due to his racism. So, and that is one of the things that gets brought up as to why Donald Trump is a racist, is because he asked the Obama administration to show the Obama's birth certificate, and they didn't. I keep saying administration, I mean the Obama campaign at the time. Anyway, when Donald Trump decided to run, I was like, is this guy for real or not? And as he kept going, I felt like, and look, you may or may not believe this, but I do feel that when Donald Trump first started running, that he did not really intend to be president. I could be completely off base with that, but that was just the feeling that I had. And there was a time, maybe 4 months away from the from it, where I feel like something clicked in him and he really decided, you know what, I'm going to make a hard run at this. And I believe I said so on the show at the time also. So, you know, this is something that I did think then. And whether that's true or not, I don't know. That's neither here nor there. But I did feel like there was a point in time when he decided to really take it seriously. I don't even know if he believed that he could become president. But the point of this thing is that 2016 was just absolutely amazing. It was astonishing. Definitely the greatest upset in our entire lifetime, my lifetime anyway. I'm sure probably everyone's lifetime, because I would have heard about other ones. And I want to ask you guys a question, all right? So if somehow, some way, Donald Trump is able to reverse it this time around, will this be greater than 2016? I think, yeah, it would have to be, right? It would have to be. I felt like a lot of 2020's election was, I don't want to say a retread, but kind of a sequel of 2016. I mean, you had him going up against an opponent who was unstoppable, right? Joe Biden beat Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden's former vice president of Obama, and the numbers were insurmountable, right? All the polls said there was no way that Donald Trump could win. You have the media bashing him 24/7. You have the movie stars coming out, making videos saying how bad Donald Trump is and that you need to vote for Joe Biden. And a lot of it was really feeling familiar, like it was 2016 all over again. And, you know, one of the things that I said back then was that it's possible that the liberals have learned their lesson and they're going to come out and they're going to vote in droves for Joe Biden. But the thing is that, and that the progressives maybe would come out and vote for Joe Biden too, because even though they got cheated again, they got cheated. There more time would have gone by between their defeat and the actual election than the time that they had in 2016. See, 2016, Hillary cheated Bernie Sanders, and then it seemed like the election was just around the corner. But Joe Biden screwed Bernie Sanders over way early, and then Bernie Sanders again went to go stump for Joe Biden. So 2020 was sort of a sequel. And yeah, if you saw Terminator, okay, back when Terminator first came out in the 80s, and I ain't really dating myself here, but when the first Terminator movie came out and you watch it, you're like, man, that was a great movie, you know, destined to become a classic. And I don't know about anybody else, you know, but when Terminator 2 was going to come out, I was like, I don't know, man. I mean, I don't see how they're going to top the first Terminator. And then you watch Terminator 2, you're like, this is the greatest movie ever, right? Yeah, sure, it was a retread in a lot of ways. It was sort of just the same story again, which was trouble for the Terminator franchise because they just kept doing the same thing over and over again. Except for there was one Terminator movie. Was it Genesis? There was some Terminator movie that was actually, no, that I don't remember the name of it. But one of the Terminator movies were a little bit different. But the others were all basically the same thing over and over again. And so I'm like, there's no way that Terminator 2 is going to be better than the original one. And then you watch Terminator 2 and you're like, that is the best movie I've ever seen. At the time, that was an amazing movie. I mean, that was a real blockbuster. I don't know if they even make those anymore. But back then, that was an absolute blockbuster. Guys, even though 2020 in a lot of ways is a retread, you have to admit that if Trump somehow turns us over, 2020 is going to be to 2016 with Terminator 2 is to Terminator 1. I love the first Terminator movie, but I got to give it to the second one. So is 2020 going to be 2016, but like with CGI? Is it just going to be so much more explosive and better and almost any way? You know, it's like Terminator 2. They had money and stuff. They could do what they wanted to. Anyway, I'm looking forward to it. Now, that whole thing was because of the news that we have got coming out. And let me see if I can find the story because I'm really behind and short on time here. So I may or may not even find this before time runs out. Here we go. Pennsylvania state judge upholds halt to certification, finds likelihood mail-in balloting procedures violate the Pennsylvania Constitution. Guys, if they decide that the whole mail-in balloting thing was bad and wrong and unconstitutional, and they throw it out, that's it, guys. Trump will take Pennsylvania. Now, what if they find it in some of the other states, too? I don't know if they will. And really, it seems impossible, right? But if it happens, and Trump pulls it off, and he somehow becomes the next president of the United States, or maybe I should say, I don't know if I'm saying that correctly. If he stays president of the United States, somehow wins this election. I mean, dude, that's going to be better than T2. I don't know what's better than Terminator 2. Star Wars, maybe, you know, the old Star Wars. But yeah. And if you thought the crying was bad in 2016, and it was, the crying was really bad in 2016. Woo, I don't even know if I want to hear the howling in 2020. But you know what? Hey, maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe in 2020, if Trump gets it, maybe things will actually calm down. I mean, it's hard to imagine because Trump is sort of like, if you ever got something like in your skin and your body like swells up around it to eject it, right? I don't want to compare Trump to something negative like that. But I feel like Trump, in a way, doesn't belong where he's at. You know, you have the Democrats and the Republicans and they fake fight with each other the whole time. And then you have an outsider come in and he really changes the game. And guys, the things he's been doing, like he's changed the CIA. He has fired. What's the name of that guy that's been in there forever? He talks like this. He's got a very deep voice. Been there since the Nixon administration, at least. Right. That's where he was famous. And he kicked all of these guys out. This is a big deal. Henry Kissinger. Can't believe I couldn't remember that dude's name, but Trump is making tremendous changes in here. And I wonder if he had planned to do it the entire time, the second term, and now he might not get it. And he's just making all these moves super fast. But, you know, there's a problem because, remember, it is you've got to keep two of the three happy, right? The military, the elite, the people, right? And if you miscalculate in that balancing act, that's it. You're gone. So if Trump is getting rid of, if making so many of these changes, he's going to make a lot of people mad at him. But, I mean, I guess that's what he's there for, right? That's par for the course. That's what we expect out of the president, especially at this point, Donald Trump. Okay, guys, I got to wrap things up. Any last things I got to tell you about? I guess the lockdowns, you know, are getting insane. I mentioned that already, but they are really, they're bordering on creating insurrection in these areas. Speaking of insurrection, BLM and Antifa, BLM is getting upset with Antifa and they don't want to have anything to do with them anymore. And so that's a whole kind of fight there. I was talking about insurrection. Some places have set up their own autonomous zones so that they can just keep their businesses open. It's crazy. I mentioned that nobody would vote for Biden if they knew that he was going to allow things to lock down again. And if he gets in, it's going to be bad news, dude. So I hope that Trump is somehow able to pull it out and turn things around and become president. All right, guys, that's it. Thanks for listening. I'm the Ed Man. This is the How to Kill an Hour radio show. We'll do it all again next week. Happy Thanksgiving weekend. Have a good one, everybody.